Welcome to the KJGR Interviews Podcast. I'm Matt Desch, and today we're covering the upcoming levies for the Columbia Falls Public Schools. And joining me in the studio to help break it down is Superintendent Corey Jeffco and Board Chair Jill Roxon. Thanks for coming on, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, appreciate this opportunity, Matt. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Mr. Jeffco, tell us about the Columbia Falls School District number 6. What are the boundaries, and tell us about it?
The boundaries are pretty large, and you know, up to Canada, clear over to Essex, and down a little bit, and kind of weaving around to the west side. One of the largest school districts, if not the largest school district in Montana.
Is it really? Wow, yeah. I didn't realize that it was that huge, all the way to Canada. Man.
Yep.
So that includes the North Fork and up the canyon, and
correct.
So how many rural schools feed into your school?
Ooh,
you got Deer Park.
Well, Deer Park feeds into Kalispell a little
bit.
Oh,
it does? Okay.
Yep. West Glacier.
Yep.
In
West Glacier.
That's a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But just a lot of rural areas
feed into. For sure.
Feed into Columbia Falls.
Yeah. How many students do you guys have in your district?
About 2,256.
Wow.
So the largest Class A.
Largest Class A school in Montana.
Yep.
Okay. That makes sense. And how many employees are there in School District 6? Do you have a rough number on that?
210, maybe. 220.
Okay. Yeah.
Full time, and you know, not counting substitutes, coaches.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Teachers, admin, staff, custodian.
Okay. Yeah, it's a big school district, man. Jill, Columbia Falls School District has 3 levies they're asking to get approved. First, tell us, what is a levy and what does it do?
A levy is a option that school districts have to request certain funds from voters, and our 3 levies that we are putting forth this year, we have a building reserve levy for the Columbia Falls High School. Mm-hmm. That's a project to replace the end-of-life roof. The other 2 levies are operational levies, and these 2 levies, we will be asking voters for funds to make up for the deficits due to inflationary increases through the past years and the loss of our COVID ESSER funds. If you follow the news at all, you'll see that most districts around the state and the valley are in the same boat. It's kind of a perfect storm of loss of revenues from the COVID money and just the increases in inflation over the past few years. Districts are receiving about a 2-3% increase from the state each year. And of course, inflation has not kept up with that. So just over time, we are seeing our money go less far than it did, say, 5 years ago.
So you need the levies to make up where the state and federal funding don't come up to par, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, Mr. Jeffco, what is the current yearly budget for Columbia Falls School District?
This one we're operating just for our general fund, right around $10 million is the number that I can recall right now. And we don't go asking our community to help too often with this. You know, our last levy was 2014 for the high school. So within that $10 million, we've been doing some good things for a while. But the last 10 years, that's where it's been.
Okay.
So we're looking to fill that gap over the guaranteed base.
Okay, and then the guaranteed base, that is set by the state, right? That's a minimum that the school district has to spend in their budget every year, and then there's also a maximum set by the state, and the in-between amount is where the levies come in, correct?
Correct, and I'm learning lots about Montana finance with moving up here in July. We lean heavily on our business manager and clerk, Dustin Zuffolato. So, but what he's trained me and taught me with it is we're looking for that gap between that 80% of our base guarantee, totally driven by student enrollment. Mm-hmm. The Columbia Falls district has been experiencing growth with student enrollment, so we anticipate that to continue. But we're just looking to fill that gap to support our kiddos.
And one of the questions I always get about school levies, talking about growth in Columbia Falls, it's grown quite a bit over the years. People see all these new houses and new buildings going up, and they think, well, there's more property tax going to the school district, so why are they asking for money? Shouldn't they be getting more money from all these new property taxpayers?
Yeah. Again, I wish Dustin was here with us as well, too, Jill, on that. But he can always correct me. But we had a meeting last night where we talked, and I believe I can recall the numbers. So the average reevaluation of the real estate in Columbia Falls, the average went up 40%.
Yeah.
But only the mills collected by the school district went up 9.3%.
Yeah.
So the schools aren't collecting all this additional money because of the valuation going up. We actually collected less mills because they were worth so much.
Yeah, and when with the additional growth, it doesn't necessarily mean the school's getting extra money. It just means the property taxes are spread out more, so more Correct. People are helping to reach the school budget.
Correct. With the increased valuation, yeah. you are taking a higher amount of money, but you're spreading it across more people.
Yeah.
So even though the increase was 40%, the actual percentage that the homeowner feels was, it was about 9%, so it was okay. a lot less than that 40%.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We're sharing the pain.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody's feeling the pain on the property
right,
tax.
Right,
exactly.
So Mr. Jeffco, Columbia Falls is proposing three levies. There's a two-year building reserve levy that's about $1.4 million a year, and a $430,000 elementary operating levy, and a $157,000 high school operating levy. First, tell me about the two-year building reserve levy.
Yeah, so with that, we were completing a project that was federally funded with some ART money for ventilation improvements in the high school, and that's what we noticed in August, that there were some issues with our roof.
Yeah.
So we called a timeout on that project and really looked into what was going on with our roof system itself. There were no leaks. There was no negligence in the roof. We just identified that the roof decking had rusted out and it sped up its end of life.
Okay.
So it rapidly approached us. We had to do some mitigation to ensure the safety of the building. We put in some additional trusses and just to stabilize, just to ensure that roof was structurally sound. We had to do some snow removal. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we had a little lighter winter.
Yeah.
Won't be so lucky this summer, but we had to keep that snow off the roof just so we weren't adding any additional weight to it. And now we're looking to remove that roof and put that back on.
So, and you had a lot of rusty, like, trusses up there, it looked like. You got pictures on your website.
Yep, pictures. That was the pan decking on there. The trusses are holding tight.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit on that top cord, maybe some surface rust. But that pan decking that you can see on the pictures on our website, was the concern part, because those are spanning roughly 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put those trusses in there to mitigate that and to double it up. Just to ensure the roof decking would stay up there. But now we're talking, it's not just a membrane, it's not just re-applying shingles, it's the whole system in there.
Yeah.
And so that levy for 2 years, the timeline is tight, but we could get it done this summer,
okay.
Pending the results of a successful levy and have minimal impact on the school year.
So it would hopefully be done before school starts in the fall.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. And you did say, yeah, this is a two-year levy. So on a house that's valued about $300,000, it would cost about $83 more a year on property taxes, or $7 a month. And that's just for 2 years, and then that goes away.
Then that drops off, yes.
So your property taxes could go down in 2 years after, if this one passes.
You know, we've had the questions of why did we just build a new school?
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been blessed with the support of the community for Glacier Gateway. But the timeline, like I said, in August of 23 was when we realized we had an issue mm-hmm. with the roof. And, you know, so going out for a bond in May, there would not be enough time to even begin to get stakeholder yeah. input and involvement for a new school, let alone the $160, $170 million Jeez. It would take to replace that building. So the board was very, very aware of that and chose just to go after the two-year building reserve levy just the removal of and the replacement of a roof.
And you got to get this roof done so that you can finish the ventilation project, because if you don't, those Correct. Federal funds will go away.
Correct. That's a great point, Matt. Yep. Those funds are sunsetting September 30th mm-hmm. to 24. So if we don't finish this project and we can't put those rooftop units on to increase the ventilation in that building until we do get the roof replaced. So it will allow us to leverage those funds to yeah. improve the building.
Okay, that makes sense. And what happens if the levy doesn't pass, Jill?
Oh, I'm going to back up one second add a little bit to the other
one.
Then we'll get on to that one. I just wanted to add that through when this roof issue was discovered, we took a hard look at all of the roofs of all the areas, and it was just the one location that was of concern.
Okay.
And the board had planned to replace this roof. It was nearing its end of life anyway.
Yeah.
But through architects and engineers' investigation of the building, you know, the entire building is sound. It has good bones. And so one of the things that we're looking at is improving and updating the current facility. We don't believe we need anything as drastic as a new building.
New building, yeah.
No, we just want to make sure that it's the best learning environment, safe for our students. So yeah, at this time, we just need that new roof. And then the next year or two, we will be looking at the broader needs of the entire high school. So that's when we will get into the full projects.
Yeah, this is more of a maintenance levy, just like your house. You expect the roof to last 20 years, but sometimes it doesn't. And you got to replace it in an emergency.
Yes,
so that happens.
So, and then your other one was, what happens if it doesn't pass? Well, we have looked, the board's looked at all, and the administration at all of the priorities of where we would make reductions if it was required. Mm-hmm. Again, we are not looking for new programs or new funding. We're looking for approval to keep the programs that we currently have, excuse me, in the staff. And as our friend and co-trustee Dustin Sheff has said, that we're looking to have September look like June, which means we just want to keep what we currently have.
Yeah.
So, of course, if the levies do not pass, we will not have school in September as it looked in June when we closed. We will have to make reductions and cuts.
Yeah.
And the board went through a process at our recent budget finance committee meeting looking at things that efficiencies that we could make. Our first priority, of course, is to maintain our accreditation standards. We will look there first. It might be necessary to increase some class sizes and reduce some course offerings, but we would look to maintain what's required of us through state accreditation standards.
Yeah, of course.
Some other priorities that we may need to investigate would be looking at some of the positions that were added recently, especially with our ESSER COVID funding, and we did add some learning loss specialists. We added some nurses, custodians, some staff that would help with COVID needs. And unfortunately, COVID, the emergency may be over, but the results of online learning and some emotional health issues that students are dealing with and families have not gone away. So some of those positions that we've added are really crucial still, and our students need those services. So that of course is something that we would need to look at.
So, and let's stick with the building reserve levy. If that doesn't pass, then you're going to have kids go to some modular classrooms. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we've been looking at that. It's the $2.7 million question on what if it doesn't. Our first step would be we'd have to review what we currently did to ensure the safety of that building and the structure of it to see if it was still feasible for an additional school year. Mm-hmm. That would be the best case scenario, keep our kids in that building and their staff in a safe manner and get that all worked through. If we can't be in that building, then we're on to ideas up to and including everything looked at in busing back to the Canyon Elementary School a couple of kids. A-day, B-day schedules, virtual, modulars in the parking lots.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No.
You don't want to have to kids leave the building and go to classrooms, other places. And you don't want to have to bus kids all over. That's just going to cost more expense for the school.
More expenses for the district. And the roof hasn't been addressed then either.
Yeah. Right. Bottom line is the roof still needs to be
fixed either way. Yeah. So, Jill, let's move on to levy number two. Tell me about the $430,000 elementary operational levy. What will it do?
As I was speaking about earlier, that operational levy will help us maintain the current programs and staffing that we currently have.
Yeah.
So it, and you were asking what will happen if it doesn't pass. And again, it would mean reductions in those areas that I'd mentioned, you know, looking to continue to meet accreditation standards we would look at positions that were recently added with COVID money and weigh the current need for those positions and feasibility of keeping them. Also, some of the other areas we might have to look at are, of course, our sports and extracurricular activities, and if there's some of those have been recently added, so we would look at those as well.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we also have negotiations each year with our staff, so we're looking at salaries and what that could mean too. And you know, we're living in a time when it's hard to attract teachers and it's hard to keep teachers.
Yeah.
It's a very competitive area where we have, especially in the Flathead Valley, where we have
lots of jobs,
and also lots of access. You know, you can live just about anywhere and work in just about any school district.
Yes, so you can.
It's we are very proud of the staff we have, and we hope to keep them with us. And so that also is an important aspect, is how much we are able to continue to pay our staff.
Yeah. And Mr. Jeffco, I think you brought this up earlier. The last time Columbia Falls proposed and passed an operational levy was 2014. So that was a while ago.
Yeah, I believe that was for the high school. So 2012 for the elementary.
Okay.
Unless I have those dates backwards.
But okay. And how has the district changed since that time?
a lot. I chuckle when I was up here 20 years ago on my honeymoon and not recognizing the Columbia Falls of now.
Oh, wow.
You know, and just the growth, the opportunities for kids, the needs of families, what our community can support. I mean, all that has changed in the 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, and if it's been 10 or 12 years since you've asked for an operational levy, it sounds like the school district has been good stewards with the taxpayer money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time not to ask for one.
Yep, yes. And then just that gap is just widening a little bit of that to get to that full 100%.
Yeah.
And we don't go to the well often.
No.
And we've been doing the best we can with what we have, but want to keep supporting our staff. And the board has been very diligent. We have not used the RIF word. We have not looked at removing anybody.
Good.
It's just, how are we doing the best that we can and support kids with what we have?
Yeah, and this operational levy is mainly to help the school budget keep up with inflation, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, that's been raging over the last 3 years, and school funds haven't kept up at the same rate.
Yep, the funding coming out of Helena hasn't been matching that.
So if the food prices are going up at home, the food prices are going up for the school. And
yeah, we heard last night that our insurance had increased from, what, about $200,000 annually to
over
$400,000.
Wow. 100% increase.
Jeez. Yeah, it's
that's
a bunch.
Nuts. That is insane. Yeah, that all has to be funded, especially if you want to keep employees.
Yep, that all rolls into that same bucket.
Yep. So unlike the building reserve levy, this levy would be a permanent increase, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then on a $300,000 home with the elementary levy, the increase would be about $30 a year, which is about $250 a month. And that's not an unreasonable amount to ask. I mean, that's pretty low.
It is. And we look at, you know, earlier Dr. Roxon said about, you know, sharing it. And, you know, that $250 a month is a good share for the community to help support our K-8 elementary district.
Yeah, it is. So tell me about levy number three, the $157,000 high school operation levy. That's similar to the elementary one.
Similar to it, yep, kind of offering the same supports and stuff. But the unique part of that number that the board came up with the 157 and change, there's still capacity, like 2 mils that the board could have chosen to ask for in there.
Okay.
So this 157 would just provide a break-even budget, not adding anything, just keeping it where it is. And the board was very targeted in recognizing that our stakeholders and voters, they're worried about their checkbook just as much as we are. So really targeted in keeping that number just to what we needed. It's always been need, not want. So the board has been focused on keeping it.
Yeah, and again, this is not a crazy ask, I don't think. I mean, on a $300,000 house, this is $8.63 a year. That's 72 cents a month. Yeah. That's not bad. That's not a bad ask.
No.
I think people can swing that pretty easily. Again, if these operational levies don't pass, you got to lose programs?
Same thing that we spoke about with the elementary. We're looking at the same priorities. We might need to reduce some classes, and we combine some if able to do that. We do have staff who are retiring and moving. So even though we're not anticipating needing to riff any teachers or you know, lay them any off, we may, through reorganization, be able to absorb some extra costs that way too.
Okay.
But, so we do have the staff, and again, we're looking at any extra COVID positions that had been added that we can reduce, and also sports and then negotiations. Again, it's pretty much the same priorities.
Yeah, same for both high school and elementary.
Correct.
Okay. So Jill, how do people in Columbia Falls vote?
How do they vote?
How do they vote for these levies? Yeah.
Well, they vote by, they're going to be receiving their ballot. Well, they have received. I received mine, I think, Friday.
Okay.
Or Monday in the mail.
Yeah.
So they're coming in the mail.
Yeah, they went out on the 19th,
I believe. The 19th, yes. I think, or maybe a day early, because I got mine fairly quickly. So we have those three issues are on a ballot. We did, of course, we have annual trustee elections also.
Oh, yeah.
But this particular year, we had two people that were vying for two. It turned out to be two seats. So our clerk was able to cancel that trustee election, so that will not be on the ballot.
Okay.
I know we have had some questions about that.
They're already in if nobody's running against them,
that's
correct?
Right. Correct. Yeah. That's just through acclamation, those trustees.
Okay. So the ballots are in the mail, and you should have them at your in your mailbox now. And when are they due back?
They are due back May 7th.
At 8 p.m.?
8 p.m.
Yep, you are correct.
Yeah, okay. So
they can drop them off at the district office.
Okay.
If they want to save some postage, otherwise they can mail them in. And
yeah, and if you don't mail it before May 1st, you should probably drop it off.
Drop it off, yes.
And if you don't get a ballot for some reason, please do go down to the district office, and they will give you a replacement ballot. And so if you a few days pass and you haven't received it yet, please do make the effort to get down to that office and pick one up.
Get out there and vote. This is important for the community. So
exactly. Hope for high turnout on there.
Yeah, the school elections are always low turnout in Northwest Montana. We got to get that number up.
Yep,
got to get more people to participate. All right, guys, Mr. Jeffco and Jill Roxon, thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. And if people want more information on the levy, what's the website they can go to?
So they can go to our district website, cfmtschools.net. They're always happy to answer any phone calls. I know myself or my clerk, and we'd be happy to have any conversations, answer any questions. We've been saying your curiosity fuels our transparency.
Yeah.
And so just keep the questions coming. We've got a bunch of resources on our website, and we'd be happy to discuss with them.
I like that you guys will take questions, phone calls and take questions. That's very, very important.
Yeah, we just want to get that information out so people can be informed when it comes to May 7th.
Yeah, for sure. Jill, you got anything else you want to add?
No, we just encourage everyone to look in their mailboxes, get out and vote, and hopefully we can get this taken care of so we can provide the best for our kids. That's the bottom line. It's, you know, we want our kids to be in a safe environment that is conducive for a good education, and we want each child to get the best education they possibly can.
Yeah, you got to keep the schools running for sure. Yep. That's right. All right, that does it for this episode of KJGR Interviews. I'm Matt Desch, and make sure you share this podcast with your Columbia Falls neighbors.